Welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast, conversations with business expert authors to learn about the author, their expertise, and to help you find your next read. And now, here's your host, best-selling author and CEO of Influence Network Media, Jody Brandsetter.
Al, welcome to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. I am so excited to talk about your chapter in Talent Impact. But before we dive into the book, I want the audience to learn about you. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Great. Well, again, my name is Al Lindemann, born and raised here in Cincinnati. Love it here. Professionally, I am co-owner of a company called Anavo Growth Partners. Anavo was a very intentional word for us. It is Greek for the word ignite. And part of what drives my business partner and I is our desire to ignite people and ignite businesses. And obviously, we want to help people grow, and not just a little bit, but a lot of bit. But Anavo Growth Partners was developed really about helping organizations and the people that work in these companies to dramatically grow. So simply, my business partner is amazing. His name is Preston Bowles. He's amazing at developing strategic plans that give organizations a path on how to achieve dramatic growth. And my role in our company is to help the people go through the maturing process that they need to successfully implement those strategic plans and allow them to sustainably achieve the results that they're looking for. So just so blessed to have met Preston, and we love what we do, and just enjoy creating a lot of positive change within companies and then the lives of the people that work at those companies.
Those, we have something in common. So Influence Network Media, it's myself and my business partner, Melanie. I'm curious, why do you feel like you and Preston work so well together? Or you can even just tell me kind of the rationale as far as why business partnership was, you know, kind of the route you guys went.
Okay. Well, it's intriguing. There is a synergy between Preston and I, a little bit of yin and yang kind of a thing. Preston is without a doubt the strategist. He is without a doubt the analytic. And I certainly have some of that in my background, but I really thrive on the interaction with people. And so what brought us together was Preston has been yearning to expand the services that he offers. His company, he's been doing what we've been doing for about 15 years. And the part that he said that was missing the most was the people development side within the work that he does. We were introduced in the year 2020, just as the world was slowly starting to wake up. And we just found an instant synergy because my desire is to work in the same kind of companies that Preston has been working in. But my desire is to start with an owner and his executive team and then the subordinate team, whatever is in need. But it's just to help them go through the growth processes they need to empower employees, engage employees, and really allow an owner to not work on their business, or excuse me, work in their business so much, allow them to start working on the business so that the business can be what it's capable of being. And I know you and your partner know this very well, but you guys know how often business owners are caught up working in it. And they don't ever take, or they rarely take the time to work on it. And so we see our mission as being able to help them get out of that stuck mode of working in it every day, allowing their people to take on greater responsibility so that the owner can start creating something even more beautiful than they already have.
You know, I think that was one of the reasons why we wanted to do a business partnership, was so that we could work on the business, not in it. Yeah. And we are kind of a yin and a yang too. And so that's why I was curious to see if it was kind of the same kind of philosophy. But people developing or people management or just, you know, any of that is so, so important when you're scaling a business.
Well, absolutely.
Your mindset has to shift. You have to be able to see your business in a different light. You have to see your people in a different light. There's a chance that you might have to hire different people to fulfill that need. So I can definitely see how you and Preston can kind of connect and help a business scale with the strategy, but also understanding the people side.
As I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I've been studying the concept of paradigms for a lot of years now. It's opened my eyes to how I see the world, how I see companies, how I see the people that work in these companies, because every one of us has a background that has caused us to think certain ways and to do things in certain ways. And the problem is many times those habits become blinding. We do it the same way that we've always done it because we don't know any better. And in many cases, it becomes almost a limitation to how we see the world. And so what I love to do is help people to wake up and see things a little differently and recognize that there are different ways to do things. And that when we look at problems from a different angle, it opens our eyes to and minds to more creative solutions. And that's when it is so much fun, when you see people's eyes light up and their minds open up a little bit more and say, oh my gosh, I never thought of that before, or I never saw that before. And when that happens, I tell you, I get a little flutter in my heart because it's just amazing when you can help someone see new opportunities.
Well, it sounds like in your chapter, you had a paradigm shift with what a manager and what a leader was. It sounded like at first you thought they were the same thing, and all of a sudden you were learning, oh no, that's not the case. So would love to learn a little bit about kind of what you wrote about in Talent Impact, and maybe tell us a little bit about why you decided to write about it.
Okay, I'll be glad to. So the short story is I was hired 30 plus years ago to be a manager for the first time. This is after 15 plus years in sales. And I, you know, when looking back, I wasn't hired because I was a great manager or ready to be a great manager. I was hired because I was a pretty good sales guy. And so I was hired to be the selling general manager of a remote office of a company that's headquartered in Cincinnati, but I was running their Louisville office. And the funny, real short story of this is that I was on the job in Louisville for about 2 hours when I realized how unprepared I was to be the general manager of that office. And it didn't take me long to recognize that I had a lot of growing and a lot of maturing to do myself. So I you know, many of those people I knew for a lot of years. They worked for me or we worked together in that same company because I was there for over 20 years. I used to apologize to them for how bad I must have been as a manager. But the key was, is I went from being what I would call a horrible manager, a good guy, but a horrible manager, to an okay manager, to a good manager. But even as a good manager, I recognized that the only reason people did things is because I told them to, not because they wanted to. And that still struck me as being a problem, that there was something missing there. And it was, and up until that point, I just have to say that, you know, the word manager and leader in my mind were synonymous. You know, just if you're a manager, you're a leader. And yet there's some truth to that. But the word leader means so much more than being a manager. And it was at that point when I had that aha moment that there's a difference, that in order to really get people to do it because they wanted to, I needed to show up differently. And, you know, I the guy that was my boss and my mentor for years, he was amazing. He absolutely was amazing. Did so much for me in my professional career. But what I realized is that I needed to go above and beyond the things that he was teaching me. And that's when the light bulb really started to go on, that I owned who I was. I owned the results that I produced. And not that I've always done a great job. I've made more than my fair share of mistakes. But I recognize more and more that through my hard work and effort in books, have been an absolutely, and you can see on the shelf behind me just a few of my library, but through reading books, reading guys like John Maxwell, and Ken Blanchard, and Stephen Covey, and so many others, I started to realize that personal responsibility was without a doubt one of the most important things each and every one of us need to learn to have, to do. And in my own life, I recognize that to be the best version of myself, to be the best manager and the best leader, I had to really work on me. And the funny thing is I started paying more attention to me and who I was and what I did. There were aspects that I didn't like. You know, I was pretty good at work. I mean, I really was pretty good at work most of the time. But it was another aspects of my life. I looked at and I said, oh my gosh, I was mean. I was rude. I was impatient. I was reasonably good at home. My wife and I, I'm blessed. She's married to me for 41 years. I don't know why. I don't know how she stayed that long, but she has. But I came home and so many people, you come home from work, you got little kids and you're tired and you can be impatient with them. And I was that at times, which I regret. Now I'm blessed and I've got three great kids, but I survived that part and got better at it. But it was in public that I was really appalled. It was, in line at McDonald's. It was in line at a grocery store or driving in traffic. The ugly side of me would come out. The really impatient, rude side would come out. And I did not like that side of it. And this thing was for me to really be the best version of myself. I had to be not just some of the time. And that's why that chapter in the book was so important to me is I hope others start to recognize that we need to own ourselves and what we do all day, every day, 365 days a year, and never allow ourselves to play the blame game. And so that's the part of the message that I want to send out to people. And I feel very compelled to share that message with as many people as I can. So I appreciate you for allowing me to be part of this project because it's letting me to start tell the story on a little bigger scale.
Well, I think it's interesting, all the different stories and talent impact, all of them have a underlying piece about kind of you taking responsibility or thinking about yourself just as much as others. And it is, it's so true. Like if we don't show up the way we want our team to show up, or our children to show up, or spouse or whoever, we can absolutely throw that negativity on them, or they might feel like they could be negative as well. And it could be very frustrating. And I think a lot of times when you become a parent, you really get to see yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you see yourself through the child. The child's acting like you. And you're like, is that me? Am I doing that? Did I say that? Sometimes it's beautiful, right? They say something just extraordinary and it came from you and it helps you feel like, okay, I got this. But then there's always those other times. When something comes out of their mouth and you're like, oh my gosh, she learned that from me and I need to step my game up.
I'll tell you a story. So I apparently have been a closet road rage guy for a long time. Now I've never done anything really, really dramatic, but I would get very impatient with drivers in front of me. But I'm out with the family one day, we're driving somewhere, we're in a traffic, or somebody in front of me does something that, cuts me off, whatever it was. My daughter was in the back seat and she just made this comment, said, Dad, there's one of those idiots you talk about. And my wife looked at me and she said, I didn't teach her that. And I looked at my wife and I just kind of had one of those sheepish grins and said, okay, message learned, but message heard. I it's one of those things that said, man, I really do have to work on me. But that's just one of those things where she was just so sincere, and what my daughter said was so sincere. And she just had no clue what it is that she was saying, because I was dumb enough to be saying things like that in front of my kids way too often.
Absolutely. It's kind of like that finger that sometimes we show, right? Yes. We shouldn't be showing, and all of a sudden Absolutely. Your child might show that finger. And it's one of those things too, like when I have definitely gotten put into the negative spiral or the whole gossip, chain. And every time that I see my daughter doing that, it reminds me that I have to be doing better. And I think that's what a parent does. And I think that's what a leader does, right? It's like, first, show up your best way possible, but our best is not always our greatest. And if we don't show up in our greatest form, recognize it, say, I failed in this moment, take the responsibility, kind of like what you're talking about, that personal responsibility, and then move forward. I think a lot of times we try to shove it underneath the carpet. We don't want to say we messed up. especially in front of our kids, in front of our, you know, our employees, our coworkers, our boss. But I have to tell you, every time I raised my hand and said, I messed up, this is what I did, and this is how I'm going to fix it, I've never once had anyone get mad at me for that mistake. They actually accept the mistake and say, huh, she learned from it. She's not going to do it again.
Right. And they appreciate that honesty and that sincerity.
Yeah. And it's that authenticity, I think, that helps you become, go from a manager to a leader as well. And I know in the book, you talk about influence. And again, I think that's influential when you are willing to share the good, the bad, and the ugly of what you've been through.
That, not to go off on a tangent on you, but actually the message in your book for my chapter is really an excerpt from a leadership model that I created shortly after leaving the corporate space. And really, I call it the responsible leadership model because it's about us learning how to responsibly be better leaders, better influencers of other people. And it's just, I have learned the hard way to be more responsible, and I'm still learning every day how to be more and more responsible. But the fact is, you know, life is a journey. It's not a destination. And I think the key is that every one of us every day shows up a little bit better, a little bit more aware, a little more alert, a little more responsible every day.
How can someone learn about the model? I love the whole concept of responsible leadership model.
Probably the easiest place at the moment is to go to my LinkedIn page. Yeah, the best way at the moment is on my LinkedIn page. It actually has a picture of the model as well as the description of the model. And it just shares, it's four responsibilities. It's about building a foundation and then the pillars that go with the foundation. But it's all built around learning how to be focused on what's important to you, your purpose, your mission, your vision, your values. It's about that concept of personal responsibility. The next step is learning to be more cooperative and collaborative. And then the fourth part is really just about accepting accountability and being responsible for results. And if you do those things, you'll achieve greater levels of success. The beauty of the model is, though, is that if you're struggling in some area, it almost like a math equation where we can solve the equation backwards. If the results aren't what you want, well, where's the breakdown? You know, are you not collaborating and cooperating effectively? Well, why is that? Maybe you're not being responsible enough and you're blaming too many people, or maybe your values just aren't in place yet. They're not as clear as they need to be. So it's a really cool model. And I found it helps us to help our clients see opportunities to grow. It is a great teaching model. And it also creates a foundation that people can use themselves to build a concept of culture around, or for an individual about creating character.
Wonderful. Well, I'll definitely make sure we add your LinkedIn in our notes. Is there, awesome. If someone wants to connect with you after the podcast, is that the best way? Or is there another place that you would say they should go to be able to connect with you?
I mean, LinkedIn is certainly the best. It's probably the easiest way at this point. They're welcome to message me. I look at my messages every day almost. And if there's someone reaches out, I'll be glad to respond back to them.
Wonderful. Well, Al, I loved this conversation. Thank you so much for being a part of the Book Smarts Business Podcast.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Book Smarts Business Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the show and share this episode with a friend. In the meantime, if you're interested in learning more about possibly becoming an author yourself, please visit overnightauthor.com for more information. Until next time.